The Rebel Capitalist Show, episode 66. Welcome to the podcast that helps you build wealth and thrive in a world of out-of-control central banks and big governments. This is the Rebel Capitalist Show. All right, guys, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to bring someone back to the Rebel Capitalist Show that I have a tremendous amount of respect for. He really needs no introduction. He is an expert in the resources industry, and he has been for a long, long time. Marin Katusa, welcome back to the Rebel Capitalist Show.
My pleasure.
Now, your guys called me this morning, and they told me, listen, George, we've got some breaking news that we think your viewers or your listeners really need to know about, especially if they're interested in the gold space or precious metals investing. So I'm just going to, when they told me what was going on, I mean, I had no clue. And I said, okay, let's try to get Marin on today so he can explain this to everyone. So do you want to give us kind of the idea of what's going on and why this is so important?
For sure. Look, mining is generally a very risky game. Going from exploration to development to production, so many things can go wrong. But then there's the geopolitical risk. That was fundamentally the basis of my New York Times bestseller in 2014, The Cold War. And after traveling to over 100 countries, you kind of figure things out. And it hit me really hard when on March 20th, the U.S. Fed announced the swap lines. Now, what's really critical about this, since March 20th, they've added another country. So there's 15 countries that have swap lines. I call those positive swap line nations. Now, eventually, what it essentially a swap line is the U.S. Fed sets up a lifeline for a country like Japan that's already drawn over $200 billion on it. It's quadrupled in the last month. And you don't need no Congress approval for it. It's just done. And here's the crazy part of this. It's approaching $500 billion in less than a month and a half of being alive. And you think about the Congress media that everyone's talking about for the $2 trillion stimulus that the Congress approved. And yet no one's talking about the $500 billion that's already been issued in these swap lines. Now, with a swap line comes terms and conditions, of course. And the U.S. government basically says these 15 countries are selected as allies of ours and they've accepted the terms and conditions. So therefore, a country within a positive swap line won't screw with a American listed or American mining company or a gold company with their gold mines and the foreign assets because they don't want to screw around with those positive swap lines and the established relationship with the U.S. Now, a negative swap line, and I warned about this, let's take a country like Papua New Guinea where Barrick Gold has a big gold mine or someone like Newcrest has a very large mine with Lahir. Literally a day and a half after we issued this swap line video, the president of Papua New Guinea is threatening to nationalize Barrick's gold mine there. And Barrick is one of the largest gold companies in the world. It produces over 5 million ounces a year. So if it's going to happen to Barrick or a Newcrest or a Glencore, it's going to across the board. So this is something that nobody is talking about. And George, before I published this about a month ago to my subscribers, and before I started publishing, I started talking to all the, like I know the guys in mining, and I spoke to so many of these mining executives of producer countries, and not a single one of these mining executives knew what a swap line was.
Well, it's more of a macro thing. They're kind of bottoms up, and you got to know macro to get it.
Exactly. So this was like a real game changer. And, you know, we can get into the charts later, but it's really an additional layer of risk. So what does this mean? Well, if you're in a negative swap line, you know, you're not just taking the gold and selling it into the international market. What you're going to see, and it's already started in some countries and more are going to follow in the negative swap lines, they're going to force you to sell that gold to the government in their local currency at a fixed rate. Then when you want to take those U.S. dollars out, you got to convert them at the government rate, not the street rate or the real rate. Then there's going to be all these bells and whistles. You're going to see more royalties come from these negative swap line nation countries because it's a foreign owned asset. But here's the most important thing about this. They're going to use a term called ESG. And the NGOs are going to be supportive of this. And they're going to say that these foreign mining companies from Australia and Canada and America are environmental or social, doing all these negative things. And they're going to use this tagline that investors in North America are forcing these North American mining companies to use and promote. And it is important, ESG, the environmental, social, and governance aspect. But they're going to use that clause to claw back ownership, penalties, and in some cases, nationalization. So you have to be very careful where which companies you're investing in.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So just to unpack this a little bit more thoroughly for the viewer, a swap line is when the Federal Reserve comes in and says, listen, Japan, we understand that you have a lot of dollar-denominated debt, or for whatever reason, you're going to need dollars in the future. And because of the coronavirus or whatever's happened, there's a liquidity squeeze, you need these dollars. So we'll go ahead and set up this line where we'll trade you yen for US dollars. So you have the dollars you need to give to your corporations or whatever else you need dollars for.
Not quite. So what happens, the US Fed gives a swap line and it's a term and condition. It's either 7 days or 84 days. Okay, so those are the two terms. And every country has its different interest rate. So South Korea has a different interest rate than Japan. The ECB has a different interest rate than, say, Mexico. And the 15 countries that I walked through in my webinar are, that are positive swap line nations, they just take this down as a essentially a lifeline. They don't issue, they have to pay it back in US dollars. Then what happens is, let's take the best example that I first used to my subscribers is the ECB, the European Central Bank. So let's just say they've already drawn down over 180 billion on this. And now the ECB loans it to the French. And let's say the French government needs to subsidize Airbus, because it's such a big, look what's going on with the airplanes, travels come to a halt.
But
then they convert those US dollars into euros, okay, to prop up Airbus. But here's the wild thing. This is going to be a thing that people are going to talk about in the next couple of years. Donald Trump, during his election, the economy is going to become a big issue. And while the US Fed is issuing these swap lines, think of them as lifelines to someone like the ECB, then they're going to be propping up Airbus while the US government is propping up Boeing. There's serious geopolitical issues here that Trump is going to use. So when I call it terms and conditions, you better believe this is the new geopolitical weapon. And that's why I call it the war on gold, because let's take a country like Turkey with Erdogan. He's been playing the West versus the East really well so far. Think about the example with the ballistic missiles between the Russian technology and the American technology. He kind of reminds me of Tito during the Cold War, and he's playing both sides. Now, in Turkey, if you own an old gold asset, it's really tough to take your money out. They're going to clip you on all the different ways. But Erdogan's going to play both sides up until the point of he has to choose either accepting the US terms for swap lines, or he's going to go with the emerging market superpowers led by China and Russia. So you're going to see, but during that time, he's going to take, the Turkish government is going to increase taxes, royalties, streams, ownership, and FX controls, and in some cases, potentially nationalization of assets. And that's in a, you know, a very rich, resource-rich pro-mining country like Turkey. Look what just happened in Africa, in Zambia, with Glencore, which is one of the largest mining companies in the world. Glencore said, hey, let's shut down these copper mines for multiple reasons, not economic, the virus. The mine manager, the country mine manager, went to the airport to leave. The military came, didn't allow him to leave, picked him up, took the six-hour drive back and made him restart the mill and the mine for it. And now they're doing military control at his house to make sure he doesn't leave.
You're kidding.
Happening in real time, and the media isn't picking it up. What you're talking about, you're one of the first people in the world to show their audience, there's literally a G2 world here splitting between positive swap line nations that are accepted the terms and conditions for the US, for the US dollars, and then the negative swap line nations.
Wow. So this is a political tool. It's a weapon that the United States can just wield at any time to crush a nation or not, because they need those dollars so badly.
Yes. And you got to be very careful where your mining companies, because the trend over the last 2.5 decades was to go to these emerging markets that had resource rich potential because the labor was cheaper. And at the time, there was no big movement like this. Those countries, those emerging markets needed the dollars. They accepted the mining companies. Now that they have big US dollar debt, commodity prices are going down. They need access to those US dollars, but they're not getting the income that they did at $100 oil when it's $20 oil. So they're going to start creeping ownership of foreign-owned assets under the banner of ESG.
Yeah, and if this virus gets worse, it'll just motivate them to take more extreme action.
It's going to accelerate the war on gold.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go into these charts. The first one that your guys sent me here, I'm going to go ahead and pull it up. It's a chart of major gold producers by exposure.
So here's the top 10 gold producers in the world. And what you want to look at is red is in negative swap line nations, green is in positive swap line. So green is good, red is bad. Take someone like Barrick, one of the largest gold producers in the world.
Yeah.
Over 50% of their gold production is in negative swap line nations. So once the countries have this desperation and their economies are imploding and there's a shortage of these US dollars, what Papua New Guinea is threatening to do, that's going to become more and more common over the next few years because of the shortage of US dollars. So you look at the Russian company or the Uzbek company on the list there, 100% red. As an investor, you're looking at going, well, what do you think is going to happen? Which side are they going to be influenced with, right? So you kind of avoid the red. That's kind of how I signified, because you're not going to see the nationalization of assets in positive swap lines, because take a country like Mexico, which is a great mining jurisdiction. They're not going to risk that swap line for a small mine, relative speaking, to the swap. Okay. Then you take a company like Agnico Eagle. I don't own a single one of these stocks and I'm not short any of them. I have no skin in the game on this one. I'm just showing the data. Agnico Eagle is 100% exposure to swap lines. Now, yeah. I'm not paying the price that it's trading at right now because I think it's going to pull back, but that's a much less risky proposition than, say, some of the assets that Barrick has.
Okay. Got it. So then going over to the other chart, let me pull that up so I can follow along with you. We've got the royalty and streaming swap exposure.
Now, George, you're the first person who's going to be showing this chart outside of my subscribers. And I need to make a major disclaimer here. Every one of these companies, I know the executives personally. They are my friends. These are, for example, the Sandstorm guys, Nolan Watson and his team. They're very close friends of mine. I play poker with them. I've got a lot of respect for these guys. But here's the reality of the situation, okay? And this is exactly what I'm laying out. Again, I have no short position on this. This is for educational purposes. Pierre Lassonde's company is a great company. If you look at Franco Nevada, it's also very expensive. It's trading at 3x NAV. Now, would you pay 300% NAV for something? No, like a house or whatever. So it's expecting a few things. Well, the reason why the streaming companies trade above NAV, essentially at a big premium to NAV, is people appreciate the fact that it's a lower risk way to play the mining sector than, say, a producer or developer, because you don't have all the risks associated. That is all true. But 3x NAV is not cheap. It's expecting a much higher gold price. But then this is the first time anyone's ever broken down the data on this. Now, if you take all of the production of cash flow and you marketed it in a way that you look at, where are those? Are they in positive swap lines or negative swap lines? And then you see something that everyone just assumes is the low risk way or a no risk way to play gold. Someone like Franco Nevada has significant exposure. Over 55% of their cash flow comes from negative swap line nations. Now, the way these streaming companies are set up, they don't pay the taxes that the countries in these negative swap lines are going to expect them to. So you're going to see all these FX controls, taxes on this. There's risks there associated. Now, if you look at someone like Osisko, Sean Rosen, great guy, super successful. Their big mine is Malartic that they have a nice royalty on. They've turned into kind of a pseudo royalty equity company. And then you look at someone like Sandstorm. Again, I like the guys, very smart, successful guys. But 1/3 of their NAV is on this hot maiden asset that is in Turkey. Okay, yeah. It's a great asset, but it's in Turkey, and I just disclosed the risk. So what I'm trying to explain to everyone is everyone just assumes these streaming and royalty companies are, you know, that's the lowest risk way to play it, specifically Franco Nevada. And you look at its share price at 3x NAV. And I'm just asking everyone to, hey, wait a second. There's significant exposure to negative swap lines. And we see what they're going to need. These nations are going to need US dollars. And the conclusion of all this is these mining companies are going to realize this when they start getting higher taxes, and the advantage of the lower cost labor and the depreciating currencies gets negated by the increasing government take. The risk premium right now, almost all analysts, when they calculate the NPV of these assets, they put the same risk discount to something in Africa or a negative swap line nation as they do in Nevada. Does that make sense to you? No. So, but that's the way the industry does because it's been complacent, and it's the way the bankers make their fees through M&A and financing fees and debt deals. So I'm not making friends doing this. I'm exposing the reality of the sector, and I'm one of the largest investors in this sector, okay, one of the largest financiers. But what the conclusion of this is, you're going to see a big M&A push to come back towards North America and the other positive swap line nations, because that risk premium is just not worth it, specifically when the negative swap line nations are being influenced by China and Russia.
Okay, this is making a lot of sense. So really the takeaway is for the average investor is to make sure that you're considering this. When you're looking at the risk of your investment, you've got to start considering this and maybe even prioritizing these swap lines. And if your asset that you're buying is in a jurisdiction that could be a huge, huge target in the next year or two, especially if things get worse from from the virus standpoint or a geopolitical standpoint.
The risk isn't being priced properly, and you have to know how to price the risk. And that's what I'm trying to expose and educate in the sector. And I think there's an opportunity here, but you know, our portfolio is outperformed our peers by over 3 times. And here's the point. You don't need to go and be an Indiana Jones investor to outperform everybody. Right. Almost all of our assets are in positive swap line nations. And I've proven that you can do very well. And here's the thing, George. Newsletters sell by having a sexy story like the movie Gold and going into a jungle and discovering this amazing thing. Look, I've been there and done that. I've worn body armor. I've had the French Foreign Legion take me through Iraq. I've been to Kosovo wearing body armor when we were the first company there. Been there, done that. And you know what I've learned over 20 years of doing this? You don't need to take that political risk. Yes, there are guys who've made a fortune going to these unknown areas, these emerging markets. But generally speaking, those are very rare. You can make just as much money with existing infrastructure, the rule of law, and positive swap line nations.
I know these charts are original and proprietary to Katusa Research, and before today's interview, you've only shared them with your subscribers. So I appreciate you allowing me to share them with my viewers today. But moving forward, how are you going to use this information for your subscribers' benefit in future issues of Katusa Research? I think it would be very interesting to hear that for my viewers who might be considering subscribing right now.
Literally what we're doing right now, me and my team, we're breaking down all of the producers of gold, silver, copper, palladium, and we're breaking down every single mining company. We're going to publish what percentage of their cash flow from every project level. You got to understand, I've got this huge database of every single deposit in the world. And on their production, the resources, and we're going to break down how much of their cash flow comes from positive swap lines and how much is negative swap lines. And the way the analysts do it, they clump it all together and they discount it. It's kind of like the mortgage-backed securities. That's literally what's going on here in the mining world, and no one's pricing it the risk properly.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, hold on a second. So we're going to break down every producer in gold, silver, copper, palladium for this next issue. And where is their swap line? Where's the cash flow? Is it coming negative and swap? We're going to break it down just like we did for the top 10 mining companies. And it's going to start showing, wait a second, when we start breaking down the cash flows and then their resources, you know, the M&I, the 43-101, the measured, indicated, and inferred resources in the ground of these producers. Where are their ounces? Where is the future of this cash flow? This is something that for whatever reason, in this market, everyone's talking about the price of gold, but they're forgetting about where is that gold. You know, I love this one line, if you ever want to use it. I heard it years ago. I thought it was brilliant. God created gold, but it was the devil who spread it around the world. Right? So,
you know, that sounds like something Doug Casey would say.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Doug, but it was, I picked it up on a site visit. I think it was maybe Greg Smith told me when we were at a site visit in Brazil one day. And I just thought, that is so well put, because it's never in the right jurisdiction, you know? So God created it, but the devil went around and spreading it. And I just think this is something that nobody is talking about.
I just put it in terms of real estate, and I've been talking about the same type of thing playing out from the standpoint of buying a rental property in a jurisdiction where they're most likely going to jack property taxes.
Yep.
Like Illinois, as an example. A lot of people have been telling me, oh, Chicago's cheap right now. Chicago's
cheap. Controls, put rent controls on it.
Exactly.
And ask a piece of the pie. Right?
Yeah, exactly. That's like California, Illinois. You got to look at the pension fund situation.
That's the best way to explain it, because people don't understand what a royalty is on a mine. You know, many people came back going, yeah, but it's that country's gold. Why should you even get it? Well, there's risk to develop it. You've purchased the asset. People truly don't understand that it's like building a house or an apartment, and they increase the property tax, and they put rent controls on it, and they want 25% of the asset. Then when you build it and you fully occupy it, they want 50% control, right? That's what's going to happen. And look, it is becoming, with the biggest gold fund managers, the major producers, this is rattling everyone. And they're coming back and saying, well, you know, Marin's this and Marin's got an angle. I don't have an angle here. I'm an investor, and I'm just trying to expose how to properly price risk in. And you can't tell me, I don't care who it is, that you can price a project's risk in Zambia the same as you can do it in Nevada, but that's what the industry is doing right now.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic. And I know the last time you came on, your guys were nice enough to do a promotion exclusively for my viewers for a week. Your guys this morning said that they'd be more than happy to do that again. So thank you for that as well. If anyone wants to take advantage of that promotion and be a part of Catoosa Research, check out the link in the description below. That'll take you right to a page where you can find out more about what Marin's doing and how to maybe be a part of his research so you can predict, or what might predict, or have a better idea of the risk involved in investing in these gold companies. So, Marin, like always, I appreciate it, and I can't wait to do it again, buddy.
George, I just want to add one thing. On Tuesday night, I had a major shareholder of Franco Nevada call me up. I've known him for about 18, 19 years. And he said, Marin, this makes up about 30% of my portfolio. And he goes, I couldn't sleep. I had to text you. And he goes, I thought I knew this company through and through. But he goes, this just put my whole perspective upside down. And again, I like Pierre Lassonde. I think Franco-Nevada is a fantastic company. But the market has forgot that, you know, over 50% of their cash flow is coming from negative swap line nations. And this one guy messaged me. He's a well-known player. You know him. And he went and said he got some calls to cover his position because he's really worried that something that he's never even thought of and makes up a big bulk of his portfolio. And this is a professional expert who's been in the industry for 40 years and one of the leading names in our sector. Yeah. So that happened. You know, this is a chance for everyone to come back and really understand the risk parity in our portfolios.
Yeah, you know what that reminds me of, Marin, is my background is in real estate investing. I started doing that in 2012 when I retired. And what I noticed is all these professional real estate investors, I mean, these guys made a lot of money. They really understand how to analyze a deal from the ground up or from a bottoms up approach. You know, is it in a good school district? What's, you know, all these different factors? What's my cost of financing? But when you start talking to them about the Fed lowering interest rates or quantitative easing, their eyes just glaze over. Like they have no idea what you're talking about. And quite frankly, they don't even care. And they don't think that's applicable to their investment. And it sounds very similar to what's going on right now in the gold world. These guys know their business upside down, left and right. They know it better than anybody. They know how to make money. They know the geology, but they really don't understand how the central banks work, how the repo market works, the dollar funding market, and therefore these swap lines and how that might factor in to their business.
Totally agree.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you soon, Marin.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Capitalist Show. For more content like this, check out the Rebel Capitalist blog at georgegammon.com or go to the George Gammon YouTube channel.